mountains, deserts and streams. The rise of Dos Cabezas and the outlaws I see in my dreams.
This is Kathy Damaris, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, reading from Arizona Highways. From the March 2025 issue of L.M. Boyd is the author of Women Who Explore. Lindsay Egan and Melissa Wright have learned the value of the great outdoors. Today, as the co-owners of Women Who Explore, they're helping like-minded women across North America connect through activities that vary from book clubs and knitting to kayaking and mountain biking. Melissa Wright saw her life branching out before her like a green fig tree, mirroring a passage in Sylvia Plath's The Bell Jar. She was overwhelmed by the figs she could have chosen, each representing a different path. Once you're a mom and a wife, you're told what your goals are and what to build toward, she says. Wright grew up homeschooled in a sheltered religious environment in Parker. She met her future husband at age 18, married at 20, and was pregnant with her son at 21. In the book, the main character is racked with a decision, and in a dream, all the figs withered up and rotted to the ground, Wright says. She realizes that not making a decision is a decision. Wright chose her fig, a husband and a happy home and children, as Plath wrote. She also began going on walks, which evolved into hikes, as she sought a sense of belonging. No one in her inner circle shared her curiosity about the outdoors, so she went alone. As that curiosity developed, she recalls one of her most adventurous friends gave her a copy of The Bell Jar. I read that and I was like, oh my gosh, I chose my figs when I was 18 years old, Wright says years later. The same friend invited Wright to go on a backpacking trip across Europe, which Wright wasn't sure was appropriate for a wife and mother, but her then husband was supportive, she recalls. He was like, for the love of God, can you just go? Just go. We'll figure it out. Today, Wright and business partner Lindsay Egan want women to know they can choose more than one fig. Their international network, Women Who Explore, helps like-minded women across North America connect through activities that vary from book clubs and knitting to kayaking and mountain biking. Wright first stumbled onto Women Who Explore's Instagram page when the group was managed by two sisters from Canada. And when there was a call for ambassadors in 2017, she applied to start an Arizona chapter, and Egan applied to lead the one in Portland, Oregon. The two met on a Women Who Explore training retreat for trip hosts. I've always wanted to have a community that just brought women together and gave them a space to meet other people, Egan says. I've kind of always had a hard time meeting friends, especially girlfriends. Many women face that challenge, Egan and Wright say. As it turns out, making adult friendships while navigating parenthood, careers, households, and other responsibilities is hard. Women Who Explore aims to ease that difficulty by making activities more accessible. In 2020, the founders of the group approached Egan about selling Women Who Explore to her. Egan then called Wright. I don't want to do this without you, she recalls saying over the phone. We should do this together. And they did. Egan and Wright bought the company in September of that year in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic and at a time when few people were traveling. What followed was a challenging and adjustment period full of Zoom calls, virtual classes on outdoor education, restructuring the ambassador program, and building up Facebook groups. By 2022, though, the company was back up and running. Today, Women Who Explore has more than 100 affiliated Facebook groups throughout North America, with 240 ambassadors managing those groups. The Arizona chapter has more than 8,000 members. Combined, the local groups hosted about 1,200 free events in 2024 and counted more than 500,000 women as members. One of those events was an ambassador camping trip to Lost Dutchman State Park this past November. Wright and Egan welcome women who host events all over the United States and Canada for hikes in the Superstition Mountains, yoga, first aid training, campfire skits, and meaningful conversations. Participants and women who explore events tend to open up and share their secrets and struggles. That's what the trips are all about, says Egan, recalling the loneliness she felt while navigating her divorce. Finding others who were going through similar chapters of their own lives gave her people to lean on, and now she hopes to help others find that comfort. Maybe what this community also brings, she adds, is hope that the hardest times don't have to be so hard, and you don't have to always be alone. And this concludes Women Who Explore. Amima Ahmed is the author of Christopher Creek Spice Company. In the true spirit of a mom-and-pop business, Christopher Creek Spice Company started out with a grandfather's homemade recipe. That recipe was passed down to a son and grandson, and today it's available in select grocery stores and gourmet shops throughout Arizona. Some of Jeremy Cox's earliest memories are linked to the smell of chili wafting through his grandparents' cabin. His grandparents bought their property in Christopher Creek when Cox was 6 years old. He fondly remembers getting up in the morning and watching his grandfather start the chili while he and his grandmother went off trout fishing along the Mogollon Rim. "We come back in the afternoon and walk in the door and it smelled like chili," Cox says. "From a young age, I was hooked." After Cox's grandfather died in the late 1980s, his father took over making the chili using the family recipe. And while attending Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff, Cox would bring Tupperware containers of his family's spice mix from home and make chili for his friends. The recipe was a hit, and that was how a family tradition became Christopher Creek Spice Company. "I decided I wanted to share it with the world," Cox says. "I started off with two chili mixes, the cabin chili, which started with my grandpa, and the green chili, which is a recipe I created in college." Cox says the chili mix is simple and delicious, but the best thing about it is that it's all natural. There are no fillers or chemicals, just a perfect blend of spices and ingredients people recognize, such as chili pepper, garlic, onion, paprika, and cilantro. And the spices are affordable for families, which is important to Cox. "Each mix makes a big pot of chili that's enough to feed my family of four that night and then enough for leftovers the next day," he says. Since starting out with the original two mixes in 2007, Cox has added four flavors he developed himself. The new recipes in the Beeline Chili line of mixes bear the Arizona-inspired names Rio Verde Green, Fire Rock Red, Superstition Gold, and Four Peaks White. "They're all a little bit on the spicier side because I love spicy foods," Cox says. He's also come up with four grilling meat rubs along with a spicy heat rub that can be used in everything from pizza to soup. Val Yametz has been using Christopher Creek Spice Company products since around 2008 and says she enjoys the chili mix because it's the right amount of flavor and spice. But she also uses the rubs both at home and at her restaurant, Florencia Pizza Bistro. "The taste really stands out, and it's the only rub I use on chicken," she says. "We also have the rub on the tables for customers to put on their pizzas for those that want a little kick." Cox says scaling his business has been a learning experience. When he started, he and his mom would hand mix the spices in a rented kitchen space. Pretty soon, though, they were getting big orders from retailers such as AJ's Fine Foods, and as the demand increased, Cox had to find the right packaging company and distributor. Currently, Christopher Creek Spice Company partners with a company in Phoenix for packaging and distribution, but eventually, Cox hoped to fully automate the process while retaining the authenticity of his family recipe. "Sharing that recipe with the community has been gratifying," he adds. "It's rewarding for me to have people reaching out and telling me, 'Hey, that was good chili,'" he says. "And now I'm teaching my boys how to cook and use spices, and I'm fortunate that now my family are chili people as well." Christopher Creek Spice Company products are sold at select grocery and specialty stores, including Divine Gourmet, Fry's, and AJ's. They're also available for purchase through the company website. Christopher Creek Spice Company is located in Phoenix. Website, cabinchili.com. And this concludes Christopher Creek Spice Company. Richard Parker writes about the Blenman Inn. In Boston, a building built in 1878 wouldn't be newsworthy, but in Tucson is considered a time machine. Although the Blenman Inn is old, it's been meticulously restored and features all of the modern amenities you'd hope to find. When Margot and Bob Kaler purchased the Blenman Inn in May 2020, they were also buying a piece of Tucson history. Built in 1878, the San Franciscan Victorian House claims to be the only such house in the world constructed in territorial style using adobe. It's a building technique with ancient roots, one that creates structures that stand the test of time and complement surrounding landscapes. And the inn, listed on the National Register of Historic Places as part of the Armory Park neighborhood, has done both. The Kalers bought the mansion during the COVID-19 pandemic after they noticed it was for sale. As it turned out, Rob knew the previous owner through his building company. He and Margot decided to operate it as an inn with a heavy emphasis on historic preservation. We had a previous innkeeper who would say, "You've just walked into a time machine. You step back hundreds of years," Margot says. That history dates to the later years of the Indian Wars in territorial Arizona, when U.S. Army Hospital Steward Charles Rivers Drake was treating injured military personnel at nearby Fort Lowell. Drake, who'd been in the mercantile business in San Francisco before his enlistment, purchased a lot on Scott Avenue and began construction. He had two 200-pound leaded skylights shipped from San Francisco via horse-drawn wagon. They're still in place today, along with the house's original pillars and flagpole. Drake sold the home in the 1890s, and the Blenman family owned and lived in it for most of the 20th century. The Blenmans, like Drake, were significant contributors to Tucson's development and worked to bring art and culture to the pioneer town. After the last family member left, the house sat vacant for years before being bought and turned into a bed and breakfast in the late 1990s. That process required an extensive remodel that included restoring the house's woodwork, doors, and trim. Today, the inn offers modern amenities such as an outdoor pool, Wi-Fi, and a continental breakfast, but its seven guest rooms, a mix of single rooms and suites, reflect the property's nearly 150 years of history, and its new owners are excited to celebrate that history, starting with, in Margot's words, the awe of the building and the grandeur of how unique it is. The Blenman Inn is located at 204 South Scott Avenue in Tucson. Phone number 520-670-9022. Website theblenmaninn.com. And this concludes the Blenman Inn. The scenic drive in the March 2025 issue is Forest Road 525. The Red Rocks of Sedona have been attracting people for thousands of years, their scenic beauty in every direction, including the landscape along Forest Road 525, which leads to two of the area's most impressive prehistoric sites. Articles written by Noah Austin. The human history of Red Rock Country stretches back much further than the late 1800s, when a handful of hardy settlers founded the community that later became Sedona. Deep in the sandstone canyons and alcoves are archaeological sites created by the area's early inhabitants, some of whom were there at least 13,000 years ago. The two sites along Forest Road 525 aren't quite that old, but they're among Red Rock Country's largest, and the view along the road is worth seeing too. After a short drive southwest from Sedona on State Route 89A, a scenic route in its own right, head north on Forest Road 525, which quickly becomes a wide gravel road that's washboarded in parts but easy to navigate overall. Straight ahead is the Red Rock Secret Mountain Wilderness, which protects more than 48,000 acres of layered rocks and alluring canyons. Closer to the road is Windmill Mountain, a small butte you'll curve around at mile two. Here, numerous prickly pear cactuses line the roadway, joining the oaks, junipers, and yuccas that mark the views early on. Past Windmill Mountain, the junipers get larger and more numerous, and as you crest a hill at mile 4, the vegetation clears to reveal a panorama of the red and white rocks to the north. 2 miles past that view is a Y-intersection. The right fork leads to Palatki Heritage Site, a Sinagua cliff dwelling and rock art site built into the sandstone in the 1100s. A visit to explore the site's numerous rooms and trails is highly recommended, but you'll need to plan ahead. Reservations are required and can be made online. If you don't have a reservation, bear left at the fork to stay on Forest Road 525, which offers more incredible views of the wilderness area on the right. On the left are two flatter, darker mesas covered by junipers and scattered sandstone outcrops, Black Mountain to the west and Kastner Mountain to the northwest. A close approach to the red rocks at mile 7.5 reveals the details of Red Rock Country sandstone, which has been sculpted by wind, rain, and other natural forces over countless centuries. From here, tall pinyon pines appear among the junipers, and the road gets rougher and narrower as it dips into a wash. You'll curve around a steep sandstone pillar at mile 8.4 before Loy Butte comes into view a half mile later. Named for one of Sedona's early settlers, the large, craggy sandstone mound contrasts sharply with the greenery that surrounds it. You'll descend into that greenery and be shaded by tall pines and junipers before curving around the Hancock Ranch at mile 9.5. It's less than a mile from there to the parking area for Haneke Heritage Site, this drive's final destination. While reservations aren't required at Haneke, the site's hours are limited. From the parking lot, an easy loop trail of less than a mile leads to the cliff dwelling, where as many as 200 Sinagua of all ages lived in more than 70 stone rooms at the base of Loy Butte. By the early 15th century, though, the Sinagua had left the area during one of the many migrations that defined human existence in prehistoric Arizona. For a modern parallel, when you've seen your fill at Haneke, retrace your route back to SR-89A, on which you can migrate back to Sedona or southwest to Cottonwood and Clarkdale. Haneke Heritage Site is open from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily, while Palatki Heritage Site can be visited only with a reservation. Parking at both sites requires a $5 Red Rock Pass, which can be purchased at either site. Both sites close when the temperature is over 100 degrees or the road is impassable due to rain or snow. And this concludes Forest Road 525. The hike of the month in the March 2025 issue is Sabino Canyon Trail. Like the West Fork of Oak Creek, the riparian nature of this trail lures in a lot of hikers. You won't be alone, but you won't mind. This is one of Arizona's best hikes. Articles written by Robert Steve, photographs by Jeff Malsman. Water. That's the payoff on this hike, but only because water is so rare on desert trails. But even without water, this would be a keeper. The saguaros and ocotillos and converging canyons make it so. Nevertheless, there is water in the form of Sabino Creek, which nourishes a riparian habitat of trees that includes Arizona sycamores, ash, cottonwoods, walnuts, elders, alligator junipers, and cypresses. There are wildflowers, too, and grasses, and just about every other plant the Sonoran Desert has to offer, all of which adds up to one of the best hikes in Arizona, especially in the spring when the gold poppies and lupines are in bloom. However, before you can hit the trail, you'll have to catch a tram at the Sabino Canyon Recreation Area. The recreation area is ground zero for several hiking trails in the Coronado National Forest, as well as a scenic tram tour, $15, that takes hikers and sightseers into Sabino Canyon. The quickest way to get to the Sabino Canyon trailhead is on the tram. If you have the time, the phone line trail can be used as a connecting route, but it adds 8 miles round trip to the hike. Besides, if you take the tram, you'll learn a few things about the area. For example, you'll learn that the scenic road into the canyon was built by the Civilian Conservation Corps in the 1930s. The plan was to carve a route all the way to Mount Lemmon, but after 4 miles, the project ran out of steam. Today, the end of the road is the beginning of the Sabino Canyon Trail. The hike starts out with a series of moderate switchbacks. It's a well-worn path that's easy to follow. After a few zigs and zags, you'll intersect the Phone Line Trail. Stay left and continue north along the eastern slope of Sabino Canyon. A few minutes later, the trail levels off and points toward the dramatic Santa Catalina Front Range, which is known for its deep canyons and soaring ridges. From down below, you'll hear the sounds of Sabino Creek. And all around is the Bush Ridge Wilderness, which protects 56,933 acres of Mother Nature's best work. A half hour in, the trail winds around a corner and veers away from the water. In the distance to the north, you can just make out the big trees that blanket the higher elevations of the Santa Catalina Mountains. Binoculars help. Back at eye level, you'll notice that the saguaros that were so prominent early on have tapered off, giving way to native grasses and Mexican blue oaks. Things remain the same for the next 15 minutes until the trail climbs to a rocky, vegetated saddle. The views from this point are superb. From the saddle, the trail heads downhill toward Box Camp Canyon, where it intersects the East Fork and West Fork trails. The route to the east leads to Bear Canyon. The route to the west continues up Sabino Canyon to Hutch's Pool, Romero Pass, and points beyond. For this listing, veer left on the West Fork Trail. Like most riparian crossings, this intersection can get a little tricky. It's wide and there's a lot of detritus from the flood of 2006. Since then, however, cairns have sprung up, and until there's another big flood, the route should be well marked. You'll make your first creek crossing a few minutes later. On the other side, you'll wind up in and out of the riparian area and end up on a grassy, south-facing slope. This is the second best part of the trail. It's the home stretch, and in the spring, things should be lush and green. As you head west, you'll pass an especially impressive oak as the trail edges closer to the creek. Then, after 20 minutes, you'll be at the water. The creek at this crossing is cluttered with large boulders, which make it hard to see where you're going. But again, there should be cairns to help you along. Keep in mind, you might get your feet wet. Once you make your way across, you'll climb the other bank, and after 10 minutes, come to a large tree that nearly blocks the trail. Just before the tree, look to the right for a small side trail that leads down to Hutch's Pool, the turnaround point for this hike. The pool is one of the highlights of the Sonoran Desert. It's unexpected and spectacular, and it's a payoff on a trail that doesn't really need one. Trail guide. Length, 7.8 miles round trip to Hutch's Pool. Difficulty, moderate. Elevation, 3,316 to 3,769 feet. Directions. From Tucson, go east on Tonka Verde Road to Sabino Canyon Road. Turn left onto Sabino Canyon Road and continue 4 miles to the Sabino Canyon Recreation Area Visitor Center, which is open from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. An $8 day pass is required. Dogs are not allowed. Horses are allowed. Leave no trace principles. Plan ahead and be prepared. Travel and camp on durable surfaces. Dispose of waste properly and pack out all of your trash. Leave what you find, respect wildlife, minimize campfire impact, and be considerate of others. And this concludes Sabino Canyon Trail. Next up, some letters to the editor from the March 2025 issue. Last year, I received a subscription to Arizona Highways from my cousin, who lives in Phoenix. I live in a small town in northeast Georgia, and I think she wanted me to know that Arizona was much more than endless subdivisions, golf courses, and heat. So for the past 12 months in 2024, I enjoyed getting your magazine. Really, it was more than enjoyment, it was enlightenment. I learned much about your state and its beauty in all seasons. I have now received your first issue of 2025, the Grand Canyon issue. It blew me away. First, your thought-provoking column was the best I have read in a long time. I have never thought of the Grand Canyon in such a way. Then the stunning photography and splendid layout of your magazine can't be beat. The Grand Canyon issue was simply beautiful from cover to cover. I know that photos can't capture the magnificence of the Grand Canyon. You must experience the grandeur in person, but your magazine did the second best thing. It moved me and made me want to see it for myself. Even more, it reminded me that we all have special places in nature that call to us. So thank you for such a great magazine. Great on so many levels. Letter was submitted by Billy Chisholm of Toccoa, Georgia. That's it for today's readings from Arizona Highways. This is Kathy Damaris, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona.
I love you, Arizona. Your mountains, deserts, and streams rise of Dos Cabezas and the outlaws I see in my dreams. I love you, Arizona.
If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Log on to sunsounds.org, left click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then under Programming Links, left click on Demand Podcasts. In addition, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.